1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democrats are waiting to hear what President Biden has to say about his campaign when he addresses the media in just a few hours. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
My main concern is the health and well-being of the president, okay? And I think he'll make the right decision. And that's the only decision. The right decision is what's right for him. He's going to make that decision. Is it right for the country? Then we'll make a decision from there.
13 House Democrats have called on Biden to drop out. More than 500,000 people still don't have power in Houston after a hard hit from Beryl and could be in the dark for another week. Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
We need generators so we can have cooling centers. We need ice, food. We need boots on the ground.
The economy is looking up with better numbers in a new government report on inflation. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Remember, we were back at 9% 2 years ago at the peak of this. Now we're at 3%. The Fed wants us to get towards 2%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media's internal investigation finds decisions were made about host Earl Ingram's interview with President Biden last week that won't happen again. CEO Sage Wild confirms that questions asked were provided by the White House and that Civic Media producers made two edits requested by the president's people. If President Biden wins re-election, he might have down-ballot Democrats to thank. State Representative Greta Neubauer says the reverse coattails effect is part of the Democratic strategy this year.
It is the work of state assembly and state senate candidates to lift up the rest of the ticket, and our candidates continue to do that.
Democrats say their candidates in state and local races and battleground states are outperforming Biden, which could end up helping him come November. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The construction project on Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids is extending the road closure starting next week. Lincoln Street will be closed between Dewey Street up to the East Riverview Expressway. This means that you'll have to access Quick Trip by their back entrance on 6th Street South. Instead of turning onto Lincoln Street, you'll need to turn onto 8th Street South, then left on Dewey Street, go one block, then turn left on 6th Street South. Then you'll be able to access their parking lot from the back by Steve's Plumbing and Heating. This closure on Lincoln will begin at 7 a.m. on Monday, July 15th, and is expected to remain closed until around the beginning of August. Newsies Jr. opens tonight at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Friday's tickets are already sold out. You can see this amazing show at 7 tonight or at 2 on Saturday. Tickets are going fast. You can visit wrctheater.org for more information. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers dodge a no-hitter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Pirates today 1-0 at American Family Field. Over 36,000 fans in attendance. Pittsburgh has one of the hottest young pitchers in baseball, Paul Skeens, who pitched a no-hitter into the seventh before reliever Colin Holderman took over for the Pirates, allowing the Brewers' Jake Bowers to connect with a single. So the crew not only lose the game, but the series 2-1 to the Pirates. It's the first series the Brewers have lost at home since late April. They will host the Nationals tomorrow night. Freddy Peralta on the mound against Washington's Jackson Rutledge. NBA Summer League action getting underway next week in Las Vegas. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers on what he expects to see from his younger players.
To be competitive. Don't be awestruck. Look everybody in the eye. Respect all veterans and then try to kick their butt. That's what I tell all young guys. Like, I get it. You're in the gym with Damian Lillard, right, and Giannis.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon, so which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
With a high pressure system overhead, we have bright, beautiful blue skies today alongside calm winds. is only a teeny tiny small shot of a few showers sprinkling in this afternoon. Enjoy this summery, comfortable day with highs in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Before President Biden sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, he made the call to Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up.
From now and through the election, count on Civic Media to give you unparalleled front row access to the stories and newsmakers that matter most. Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. When you need real news and great conversation, count on us, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live from our table at the RNC in Milwaukee, just outside the Fiserv Forum. You're not going to want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 11th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to speak with Matt Lippert, UW Extension's ag agent. Looking forward to talking with Matt right now. Y'all, this audience knows me well enough. You know I have no journalistic integrity when it comes to theater, let alone my favorite theater, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We're talking with the gang right now about Disney's Newsies Jr., which premieres tonight. We'll be talking about that and more. First up, we have with us Gretchen Powers, executive director over at WRCT and the director of Newsies Junior. Gretchen, thanks for being here.
Hello.
Always good to see you, Gretchen.
You too.
And you got some friends with us.
I do. I have my co-director, Sue Becker, with me.
Hello.
Hi, Sue.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Sue.
And I have my choreographer slash assistant director, Rose Paul, with me.
Hey, Rose. Nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to be here.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. And appreciate the work you've done on this show. It's awesome. I've already heard good things about it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I'm really looking forward to seeing the work that you all did together. We'll talk more with you ladies in a moment, but sure. Gretchen, if you don't mind, I think I oftentimes think, well, a show like this, everybody knows this one. Just in case anybody may not be that familiar with the show, do you have like a synopsis you can give us?
Yeah, and that I've heard several people ask me, well, I don't really know what this is about. And that's okay. This is what my job is. So Newsies is actually, so it was done as a movie and a Broadway musical. It's about the 1899 strike of the newsboys, the little kids that used to go extra, extra, read all about it, and they'd sell papers. So Pulitzer, he had rose the price of newspapers to the point where the Newsies had to spend more money on them, but couldn't sell them for any more because they didn't want to raise the price of the papers so that Pulitzer could make more money. And they went, you know, they were already going broke buying these, and then they couldn't sell the papers back if they didn't sell them all. And so this was hard on those kids. And I'm not talking like 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. I'm talking like 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Like these were little kids back in the day. And so they went on strike and changed the world. And this is actually based on a true story. And we've done a lot of educating with these kids to kind of let them know. I'm like, put it into perspective for them.
Okay.
We even had them do some, like, what would it, like, if I had to have a job right now, what would my life be like?
Yeah.
And they're like, I couldn't sit at home playing video games. I couldn't do plays. I'd have to be out there washing dishes. And so, because it went from, you know, not just the newsboys, but to the kids working in the sweatshops. And we probably wouldn't have the laws we have around the workforce if those kids didn't make that change.
And absolutely.
So the moral of the story is that little kids can do big things too.
Yeah. Oh, well done.
Yes.
Well said.
Amen. Yeah.
A couple of good points you bring up there, Gretchen. One, I do want to say that not only do we love history and real telling stories, especially those are becoming more and more popular. So I think that that part of the end of this is kind of cool. We love history. We love learning about it, let alone stuff that happened here in the States in relatively recent history,
right,
all things considered. So that part is interesting. It can't be said enough about what these children did to change the work labor laws and so many other things, too. And that part is very interesting to me as well. This is a This is a condensed version of the show. It's a 60-minute version.
It's a more like an hour and 30 minutes. Okay. But the script says that it's supposed to be only 60 minutes. Okay. But it goes a little bit longer. That's okay. We also do a 15-minute intermission. So, nice. But it goes quick, and they are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. You bring up something else in that that I hadn't thought about before, and you brought me back to Kill a Mockingbird when I did that. Well, we have a scene in there where there's a rabid dog in the neighborhood, and everybody is terrified in the neighborhood of this dog. And we had three little kids on there, great actors, but when this scene came up, oh no, a dog. Oh no, what do we do? And we're like, kids, come on, you got to give us more. This is a rabid dog. And they just couldn't get it in their heads. Oh, we just call the pets, you know, Humane Society or somebody like that, and they'll come and pick up the dog. At the time of To Kill a Mockingbird, something like this happens, it was on the sheriff in the town, it was on somebody else. So we really had to build the kids up and get them in that mindset. It sounds like you were able to do that with these kids and getting them into that that mindset of that era and what it was like to be a kid in that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's great. It's not easy to do, but it sounds like you guys pulled it off. And we had Melissa join us on the morning show previewing it. She was just blown away by everything. So it sounds like you really brought it home.
And like I've had people say, these kids are ready for Broadway. Like mm-hmm. that's how good they are. And they're respectable children. They care about this and they want to do a good job. And so they've been giving it their all. So
very cool. Also keep in mind, this is a Tony award-winning score. This is a well-celebrated play that we're bringing here to town, and these kids are going to be pulling off.
I'm going to also note that this is the very first time that the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater has done a youth musical. This is not a thing. like this is something that our fundraising from last year that we had done with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory paid for, because the royalties for musicals are substantially higher than a regular play. And although those plays always are super cool, this is something I've been wanting to do forever. So it's our 50th anniversary for WRCT, but our first anniversary of doing musicals.
Yeah.
I don't know if every year will be a musical, but we will definitely be doing more of them. We have the talent, so.
This is part of the reason why I told you when you got this job that you were going to be perfect for it, and we are going to see some really cool things. The ambitiousness of it and the hunger that you have to bring these kind of things to town. It's already happening. It's already going on, and we'll talk more about this later when we get into the main season, but even with the Christmas play this year, I think you've made some like, oh, that she's already doing stuff. Like, I love it. I love seeing it, and it couldn't be a better time, like you said, it's celebrating their 50th year.
And Sue's going to be the director for White Christmas.
Yeah, yes, we'll be talking a lot this year, Sue. And as I've got you here, Sue, first, how did you enjoy yourself with this run? I know you guys are getting towards getting towards a time where your job is done, you know, when the play actually is going on and everything. You guys don't have as much hands-on stuff you can do. How have you enjoyed yourself, and what have you inserted into the play? What have you been doing?
Well, I think that I am grateful that Gretchen spoke to me and invited me in to be a part of this and co-direct with her, because as you know, I do the children's WRPS Children's Theater, and that I've, the last 12 years. So bringing a musical to the community through the community theater has opened up a lot for me, because I'm pretty restricted with WRPS as far as who can and who can't. So now I have children from Pittsville, children from the parochial school, you know, so I'm not classified and just public. So a lot more. Also this year, working with the high schoolers, I got a chance to work with My Fair Lady a little bit and get to know a bunch of them, and they're awesome. And I met Rose as well. But you know, those kids are amazing, and they followed me over there. I kind of promoted, and all of a sudden I'd see these kids at auditions, and it's been a match. Gretchen and I speak each other's words all the time.
It's funny. We'll literally be, I'll be sitting up in the sound booth and she'll be down in the front, and we both get an idea, and we all of a sudden are both saying the exact same words, and then we just look at each other like, jinx.
Yeah. So it's been a great experience. I love it. It's my life. I retired a year. It'll be a year in August.
Oh, congratulations.
And this is all I do. And my kids are my own children. Mom, really? And I go, yeah, really. So, you know, doing the show, you know, like Gretchen had talked about the history of the show. And, you know, I'm so into the kids learning their character and building their personality of each character. Mm-hmm. And that's what I take it home, learn about your career. What are you going to be? What kind of newspaper boy or girl are you going to be? Mm-hmm. What kind of jack are you going to be? We have talented children in this community, and you're going to see it, you're going to hear it. Everybody's going to leave and want to come back for more. So that's down the road. Hopefully mm-hmm. we do more of a longer run, mm-hmm. you know, instead of just 3 days, because we, with the size of our theater, to be able to enhance that for our yeah. total community, I think we can do it.
It would be cool to do 2 weekends yeah. of it.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. our ticket sales, like, they're almost sold out. We'll get yeah. to that real quick. We currently, and this could change at any moment, there are only, you know, 6 tickets left for, whoa. And then this is pre-recorded, so yeah, like yeah. they could be gone by this afternoon. 6 mm-hmm. tickets left for tonight, and 18 left for Saturday. Ooh, so get going. Awesome. We're sold out Friday, but go get those tickets, because those kids are worth listening to.
We've been talking the last couple of weeks about the importance of supporting theater, especially in Wisconsin, where Wisconsin, for those that did not hear or see or haven't heard me ramble about it a million times, Wisconsin finished last in funding the arts this last year, and that just can't happen. For one, Wisconsin has too much creative history to be that, but also it speaks to supporting local theaters. We've heard about a lot of local theaters that are just hanging on by a thread and everything. It's more important than ever to be supporting theater. But then, when you talk about a kids' show, a lot of people want to look at ways of investing in the future, of looking and impacting the future. And not many ways you can, many funner ways you can do that than buying a ticket, going and seeing a show. And yes, it's going to mean something for these kids to see family members out in the audience and everything. But Gretch, you might remember this like I do, or maybe you guys do as well, about being a young performer on stage and seeing strangers out there and them cheering for you. Or I was often a villain, so being afraid of you, or something like that, and the confidence that builds. We don't know where these kids might go in their lives, but wherever they go, they could use some confidence. They could use some people skills. They could use some cooperation skills, some of these things. And building on all of that, you are investing in that when you buy a ticket and you go see these shows. You are helping support these kids, not only the theater, but helping support these kids in their journey.
I guess I just really want to take a second. We may have finished last in Wisconsin, but Wisconsin Rapids has been awesome as far as helping us with sponsoring this show. We've received funding from the Rafters. They let us come and do a little fundraiser there, so thank you, Rafters. Rocky Rococo's let us do a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. We made some money. Encourage and Rotary, all great sponsors for us. And then last but not least, Rapids School of Performing Arts, the dance school here in town, where our choreographer has danced with, was it 16 years that you've been doing dance? And so yeah, they came and supported us, and they gave us a donation too. So thank you to all of those yeah.
private,
sponsors.
Some private donors.
And some that, private yeah, donors,
and
too.
And that mm-hmm. really has been helpful.
Yeah. That's why all the more we encourage you to invest in WRCT. And it is an investment. It's a donation to, I know, the word-wise to a lot of people. But this is an investment in your community. This is an investment that really hits so much of the community, too. It really spreads it. And it's a fun one, too. I don't want to escape past that. I mean, these are fun shows. Not only these shows, but the whole summer we're going to have some fun ones. All season long, you're going to have some great ones. When you buy a ticket, when you do donate to the theater, you are making it not only for this year stronger, but maybe next year stronger, as Gretchen touched on.
Yep. It can really go towards next year's funding, too, as well.
Yeah.
And to make an impact on the numbers, this show is 60 kids. And in my history, I mean, I could say right now I've got like over 200 followers of children that just keep following and audition for. So it's growing. Our community, you know, of theater children is growing. So,
Rose, I want to put you on the spot. I mean, talk to you a second. thank you so much for being here, Rose. I appreciate it. You were the choreographer for the show.
Yep.
I don't know a whole lot about that. Did you come into the show and have already some dances that were kind of set that are a part of the show? Or did you have to incorporate some of your own and kind of put some of your own creativity on it?
So Gretchen asked me back in March, February to choreograph for the show, and this is only the third show I've ever choreographed for, and it was like it's a full-length musical, and when you do the junior show, they have like preset dances that you can use. So I mean, I watched through them. I would use bits and pieces of some of it, but a lot of it's my own, and some of it's mixtures of both. But yeah,
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Good on you for doing this, and especially this is your third one. Said you're only your third. I'm blown away that it's your third one. That's impressive.
Yeah.
When it comes to the choreography that you have, mm-hmm. and then you have kids. Maybe not all of them can pull off these moves. Some can, some can't. I'm sure. Do you have to adapt that to the talent?
It's definitely a learning process. It's something that, like, you know, most of the time when I do it, I see it in my head, so I'm like, it's not always going to work the same way, especially since there's a lot of kids, so it's working out. Do we have everybody in this? Do we not? Do we make it a little simpler to deal with the amount of kids we have? But also, these kids are very, like, motivated to learn these dances, and they will practice them, and they will dedicate themselves to them. We have three kids in the show that learned tap for the show.
Wow.
And they committed to it, and they practiced it, and I am very proud of them for that, because that's crazy.
That is really cool. Yeah. I think I need to be in a show with you, because I've always wanted to learn tap, so maybe this is how I'll do it.
There you go. Yeah.
Are there things that you're learning from that you've learned from the process that'll help you going forward?
It's definitely interesting to work with such, like, a wide variety of ages of kids, because, you know, you have some, like, really little ones who are going to learn a lot differently than some of the high school students we have. But I, at my dance studio, would help assistant teach for some of the younger kids. So it's definitely something I've done for a while, but I really enjoy working with them. They're so great.
It's great to hear. That's really good to hear, Rose. A question kind of for all of you, I've thought about this before, but I haven't had many openings to ask about it. I talk a lot about chemistry on stage or on screen, and how vital and important that could be for you can have the world's greatest script. You don't have chemistry, it ain't going to do much. But the chemistry behind the scenes is just as important, if not more important, in many ways. The three of you seem like you really enjoyed working together along with, I'm sure, many other helping hands behind the scenes. How did that go, working together? And is this something, Gretchen, that you, as Rose mentioned, you reached out to her early on in the process. How did that go, working together? And did you all have a fun doing it?
I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys did too. Yeah, when I chose these two to be involved with me, I knew they were people who they were in it for the kids. They're very talented and creative, and they're nice, and I don't know. One things that we really promote is kindness, and they bring that to the table. So,
yeah, you guys enjoyed yourself, Sue?
I totally am enjoying myself, and we'll continue. And I just see this as a start to a great relationship in theater with Gretchen, and we can broaden even further. And, you know, I'm totally in it to win it.
Right up, like, right up.
Yeah, no.
And I didn't get to tell you before, but congratulations on retirement, and thank you for all the years of service. We appreciate you. Thank you for that. Rose, you have a good time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've worked with Gretchen on a few shows, either as her being my director or once as a choreographer before this, and keep coming back. So I'm still working.
Oh, I hear you. Oh, I can relate. When it comes to the show, you mentioned tickets already, Gretchen. I did want to also just highlight a couple of the songs that are featured in this that I think people will know. They're Carrying the Banner.
Yep, Carrying the Banner. And mm-hmm.
Seize the Day.
Seize the Day.
Yeah, yeah.
The World
Seize the
will
Day
know.
Is the one I know.
Once and For All is my favorite song from the show.
That's my sister's favorite. That's cool.
They all are really good. Santa Fe. It's really cute to watch the little kids sing the solos of the older kids. Like, they'll be on their downtime and they'll just start singing it.
Oh my gosh, yesterday was hilarious.
The little kids are always watching the older kids do the scene from Just a Pretty Face. That's the one that's not in the movie. It's made for the junior version because it's a little less risque.
Yeah.
Because it's the showgirl scene. Mm-hmm. But the dance that they do, it's so good. And these little kids they were standing on the floor while the girls were practicing it. And they were doing all the same moves. And
I was impressed. And I look over awesome. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's like flash forward to the future. They're all like 7, 8, 9 years old, and they're all doing it at the same time. And taking on the solos. They sing them constantly. Moms will send me videos. They're like, well, there's just the little kids in the show, but they know the whole show by heart, just so you know.
And
so
that's
cool.
What's cool about it. It's the impact.
It's gonna. You can watch the movie on Disney Plus. So go go check that out if you don't know what it's about and you want to come see the show after. You're gonna get addicted.
Yeah. If you have trouble streaming it, it's my sister's fault because I talked to my sister a little bit about this over the weekend, and she just talked my ear off. I remember her loving the movie, and as soon as I told her about this, she's trying to get to town to be able to check in the show, and I have to tell her that tickets are almost gone. So she's got to do this quick if she's gonna do it.
I can put one on. On hold for her.
I will let her know that. Yeah. Thank you very much, Gretchen. Thank you, because she really got excited about not only but her home. Her, you know, one of her hometowns doing this. And I think that she's not alone in that. I think a lot of people that love the movie may come down and see this. Just people that love this theater and love this town will come down to see this show. And again, get those tickets now because they're going quick. WRCtheater.org. Gretchen, if you don't mind, I did want to take a second to talk about the other children's shows that are coming up, the Hopo production and Midsummer-ish.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
I've been directing two shows at once. That's something I don't know that I'll ever do again. I'll space them out a little bit.
Please don't. Please don't.
I don't.
You've got enough on your plate.
But they're doing amazing. I've got a show called Midsummer-ish. It's a abridged version of Midsummer Night's Dream meant for children, and so I've got a wonderful group of kids, and we're performing at Lunch by the River, so it's a free show, so you get the opportunity to see a show for free and eat lunch at the same time. So we all need lunch, so come to the Lunch by the River July 18th at 11:30, and you get to see this awesome Shakespeare show without the Shakespeare language, and you'll actually understand it, and it's going to be awesome. So
that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that one, too. And did want to remind everybody, it's a Madhouse, the Hopo production, coming up August. Auditions will be July 15th from 5 to 7. Keep that in mind. Those auditions will be at the WRCT Theater.
Yep. So right after we're done, they open up with that one. So July 15th at 5, my friend Stephanie Hirth is directing that one. And then they perform that on August 3rd and 4th. And it's a really funny, like, is it like a children's murder mystery type of thing?
Yeah.
And she's very good at those types of shows, so, yep.
It's going to be a fun summer of these shows. Take them all in and support these kids and support your local theater. And get ready for a jam-packed, amazing main stage season. We are so excited about that. They're not only the four main shows, but what the Silver Fox is doing, what so many of the other groups from there do. It's going to be a really fun year as we get into this 50th.
It sure will be.
Looking forward to it. Any other notes, you guys? Because I think we covered everything.
Just that our actors are just tremendous. I really hope you get a chance to see them. One of our girls, she just went to Knoxville, Tennessee and came in second place for a nationwide singing competition and just got a gorgeous voice. Little kids who've never done this before are rocking it. Got some seniors in high school who are they'll be leaving for Milwaukee for Clinton. Rose is one of those people leaving us forever, never going to come back.
I'm going to kidnap them. They don't know that yet.
Yeah, they don't know that yet.
But they don't know. So, I appreciate all of them. I love all of them. Even on the hard days, they are just the greatest kids. I've never been so excited for people to see what we've come up with.
It's going to be a great one. Get your ticket. Make sure to take in this show. Again, you can get tickets at wrctheater.org. Newsies Jr. premiering tonight at 7. At 7. And then they've got a show Friday that does have tickets available.
That's the sold-out one so far. So 6 left for Thursday, none for Friday, 18 for Saturday. Unless by the time this show, radio show gets aired.
So that Saturday show is a 2 o'clock matinee.
2 o'clock matinee, yep.
Keep that in mind, too. Buy local, support local. That includes the arts, everybody. All three of you, thank you for everything you've done and all the work that you put into this. Enjoy the run. Have fun. And we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you so much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give
a... You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marshfield Clinic is in talks to merge with South Dakota-based Sanford Health. The two systems have tried to merge with other companies unsuccessfully. Marshfield was in talks to merge with Minnesota-based Essentia Health last year. Older Wisconsin voters prefer Donald Trump in the latest poll. The AARP survey has Trump ahead of President Biden 48% to 41% among voters 50 and older. Pollster Bob Ward says older voters appear more motivated than usual.
There's typically a motivation gap, but not by the size that we're seeing now. And that's what makes this election really different and why it makes the voters 50 plus such a key deciding block.
Social Security and the economy are top issues for older voters. The poll was taken after the presidential debate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Port Edwards Fire Department has two new members. Tim Schultz and Chris Diggles were sworn in during this week's village board meeting. Tim Schultz is an active and current fire officer in the town of Rome. He will be one of the department's medical first responders. Chris Diggles is learning the ropes and will start with Firefighter 1 in the fall. After losing close to a dozen department members over the course of the last year, the Port Edwards Fire Department is picking up the pieces and trying to recruit new members. The former chief and many department members quit after multiple clashes with the village board. The new fire chief, Dustin Lease, took over the position about a month ago. The Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department street dance is this Saturday, July 13th. They'll kick off the festivities with a parade down Main Street beginning at 3:30. There'll be activities for the kids, food and refreshment will be available before the parade and throughout the evening, and southbound plays from 5 to 10. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. 2024's summer blockbuster movie season has finally arrived, but studios are already looking two summers into the future. Shrek 5 is officially in development, according to Variety. The entertainment rag reports that Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and Cameron Diaz will all return and lend their voices. DreamWorks says the film will hit theaters July 1st of 2026. The Hawktua girl, a.k.a. Haley Welch, has trademarked the phrase Hawktua. The Hawk part is kind of gross and could have been corrected if Haley had spent $8 on a neti pot. Nevertheless, according to TMZ, rumors are swirling that the Queen of Foreplay is in talks to develop her own reality show. TV producers have taken an interest in Welch after her appearances on several podcasts and learned that spittle is not the only thing that comes out of her mouth. Using her words, she comes across as pretty dang likable. With her newfound fame and bedroom talents, you can be sure there will be a long line of suitors wanting to be Mr. Hawktua Girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With a high-pressure system overhead, we have bright, beautiful blue skies today alongside calm winds. There's only a teeny tiny small shot of a few showers sprinkling in this afternoon. Enjoy this summery, comfortable day with highs in the mid-80s.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
It's the summertime quiz. Today's contestant is from just south of the Cheese Factory, next to the tavern, Stew Sample. Name an object you can find throughout central Wisconsin all summer long. It's private, and you can use it for one or two things.
Is that a porta potty for Crockett Septic?
That's right, Stew, you win! For a clean, reliable, and affordable porta potty this summer, give Crockett Septic a call. 715-712-3456.
Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll ask Jim Santel to tie a bow on all the final rulings from the Supreme Court and what it signals could happen next year after an election.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 11th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our good friend, Matt Lippert, Wood County Agricultural Agent. Matt, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Appreciate the time. How have you been?
Pretty well.
Good, good. Good to hear. Matt, we're going to get into a couple of things today. Bird flu in dairy cattle, the unusual weather patterns that farmers have been experiencing. I want to touch on both of those. To start with the bird flu, just, and we've talked about this a little bit on Melissa's show, The Kitchen's Open, and the morning show a little, but to catch everybody up in case you didn't hear, in an effort to prevent the spread of highly pathological avian influenza in dairy cattle, the Wisconsin Department of Agricultural, Trade, and Consumer Protection is requiring influenza A testing prior to movement of lactating dairy cattle to fairs or exhibitions, and this was effective last month. Matt, what did I just say? No, I'm kidding, but I have a professional here with me and somebody who's actually in the industry, so I'm just speaking what I'm reading. What are the in between the lines there, what does that mean?
Okay, so there's, I don't know what the current number is, a dozen states that have, it's HPAI, that have had cows known to be positive with HPAI. It started in the spring in the panhandle of Texas, and HPAI, highly pathogenic, has been around for a few years. It's very decimating to poultry units, turkeys, layers, and chickens, and so forth. So we didn't know how it'd be in cattle. It's mutated enough, changed enough that it's infecting these dairy cattle. So what we do know now since it started is currently it's still mutating. It's got it virus. There's many opportunities to change. Currently, it's hard on a dairy herd. It's not as hard as it is on the poultry. It's very sudden. Some of these really large herds in Texas have a bolus inside of the cow's rumen so they can monitor what the cow does. And she shuts down just like immediately. It's just really abrupt. And there are deaths, but not many. Mainly these cows shut down, and over 3 weeks they get better. Quite a few of them get back to where they were. A lot of them maybe not quite. And so some of them might be culled because of that. And since then, since the New Mexico, which is right next to the panhandle of Texas, it's moved into the Midwest, and we think they initially got it from migratory birds, and some of these others also. And so the migration is, it's July, there's not much migration happening right now, but already in August, they start coming back the other way. So we may have infected migratory birds coming over the U.S. this fall. Our biggest dairy show is the World Dairy Expo is the first week of October. So that may play out differently. But what's interesting is here we are, the second largest dairy state, and no diagnosed herds in Wisconsin at this point. But there are in Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. So all around us, South Dakota, Wyoming, Kansas. So it's around, it's increasing. We also know that not only can it take the jump from birds to cattle, it can go from cattle to humans. And it can go from, in Michigan, there's an area in that state where there's a lot of chicken and turkey operations nearby dairy operations. And probably the workers, maybe a household, maybe have a house, and one person works the dairy farm and another person works at the poultry unit, or the same person does both, or the same person is in a service industry that goes to both, or whatever. So it has gone from dairy back to poultry, and there we know that it really knocks the birds out. So that is why we have, even though we don't have any of it in Wisconsin, we're anticipating we probably will at some point. Mm-hmm. And some of these larger shows, cattle come from all across the U.S. And so that's why they're requiring testing. They're only so what the farmers find interesting about it is you don't have to, if you have a heifer, a young cow, not milking yet, which a lot of those are what 4-H kids show at, mm-hmm. FFA youth show at fairs. They don't have to be tested.
Hmm.
It's the cows. And if you take a beef cow, so same species, they don't have to be tested, because it's been found only in dairy cattle, even though it hasn't been found in Wisconsin. So it's a little precautious, but and there's some logistics at a fair. The state is interested in monitoring this, so they're subsidizing the cost, but you still have to have a veterinarian take it, so you'll probably have some expense, and you have some timeliness issues from when you take the test to when you exhibit the animal. You have a week. So they only test 3 days a week, so there's some logistics as far as actually getting a test. So it's affected. Some counties have said we will not exhibit any dairy cattle, just don't want to deal with it. I'd say so far it's more common that counties have to figure out how to, they have to do another step. They have to be able to check some veterinary papers when these animals come in.
I know, not to put you in the room, I know you weren't, and not to put you, ask you to think what other people were thinking, but what do you think the decision on that was as far as not just doing cattle in general, but it being specifically with, you know, it seems like that it would, especially from hearing you talk about it, this seems like it would have been a better idea to just cover the bases here and all cattle need to be tested.
Well, so far in the country, there is not a single beef cow that's been shown to have it. So it may be that beef cattle are not dealt with every daily as intimately as a dairy cow, so they're harder to deal with, you know. So beef cattle get vaccinated, maybe dewormed. It's a big ordeal because these are a little closer to wild animals.
Yeah.
And so it's a big event. And that may also be why it hasn't been detected in beef cattle. But we have not had any evidence of herds being severely impacted by beef cattle. And it'd be much harder to do. So I'd say that's why they've said, no, it's just dairy cows. So.
Given your position at UW and you being a farmer, what is the feedback you have heard from the community about this?
Well, I think farmers understand the importance of epidemics and not minimalizing the consequences. So I think we're very fortunate right now in Wisconsin that we haven't had it. We're very fortunate right now that even though it's impactful and farmers are going to lose a lot of milk, they may lose a few animals, it's not, typically doesn't result in death. So it's not as bad as it could be. But again, as I said, it's a virus. It's been mutating. This is the first time it's shown up in cattle. Now we've seen some in humans. It's typically been pink eye and it's been mild, but It's something that I think we understand the need that this can evolve and change, and we want to be on top of it.
Yeah, especially what we've been through in the last 5-10 years.
Right, know, the pandemic, mm-hmm. not the epidemic.
Right, right. When it comes to, and again, I feel like I do this to you way too often, man, when it comes to these questions that I don't know how you answer, but you always do. You mentioned that Wisconsin hasn't been affected where our surrounding states have. Do you think there's any rhyme or reason to that?
A little bit. So the initial infection and maybe some of the later ones have nearly certainly been caused by wild animals, birds, migrating. But the transmission from Texas, New Mexico to Michigan is very clearly identified with cows physically being moved from Texas and New Mexico to Michigan. Well, we are in the Wisconsin by quite an extent, an exporter of cows. So not that cows don't come in from other states, but I think that's been in our favor, is that we send more cows out than come in. So that would be my theory as to why we've been so fortunate so far.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Is there any other facts or details you think would be good for the audience to know about this?
Be vigilant. It's interesting. Cats, farm cats, typically drink milk. That's, the farmer has some waste milk or something, and they put it out for the kitties. And actually, that is, we know it's kind of a unique thing. When a virus is in a body, it can concentrate in certain tissues. And this virus, we don't know why, shows up in the milk. And we think that's pretty concentrated. And the cows get abnormal milk. So if you have cows that suddenly shut down, kind of, just really lethargic, not eating, and they suddenly aren't milking, and you got several of them, and their milk is thick, not normal milk, maybe you should talk to your vet, and maybe we'll have our first case. Hmm. But if you, another canary in the coal mine thing would be cats die, farm cats die.
Hmm.
Or if you start having birds around, wild birds, unusual amounts dying, those are some indicators.
And if something like that happens, is there someone that you contact right away? Is there somebody?
We have to be careful in extension because we aren't a regulator. So I don't want
right.
to give too many personal insights and it turns out to be misinformation or not official doctrine. So it's DATCAP, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, who made the ruling about this testing that needs mm-hmm. to be done. And if we get further into epidemic and they change the rules, it'll be them. Mm-hmm. And if you have incidents, you could consult your veterinarian. Nearly every farmer works routinely with a veterinarian. And they will talk to DATCAP, or you would... you could do that directly.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Very good information. We're speaking with Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Division of Extension. Matt, you don't have to spend much time in Wisconsin or the Midwest to understand that the weather is going to change in the time we are talking.
We hope it changes. We need some change.
Right. We've had some really unusual weather, and it's been affecting our farmers and our ag industry. But how has it been affecting?
One measure of this is the Marshfield Ag Research Station is a weather reporting station since I think its inception. So they've got records back to 1913, and you can have all the greatest 1-hour event, the greatest 1-day event, but the period April, May, June, which is what we kind of call spring. It was the fourth wettest since 1913.
Whoa.
So not a record, except for those of us that have been experiencing this. April wasn't that unusual. April was actually, last year was extremely dry, and people were still concerned about that pattern. Hmm. So it really happened in May and June that we got all this rain, and they noticed it a little less in right here in Rapids, or Portage County on the sand, but we have a county here in Wood County between here and Marshfield that doesn't do well when we get a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of makes it marginal farm ground. And so that's what happened this year is we have a lot of spring planting. Majority of that should happen in May. Because we have wetter soil around here, we're familiar with going into the beginning of June. But we have in Wood County, and it's not just here, but we probably are one of the more severe examples, but all across the state of Wisconsin, there's a weekly report that comes out about what percent of the soil is extremely droughty, normal, wet, extremely wet. And we have, in the entire state, we have none of the two driest categories. No soil, and that's very unusual. But here in Wood County, if you drive, you will see, well, I guess if you're not a farmer, maybe you won't notice as much, but we have a lot of fields that didn't get planted and will not get planted because it's too late to make, you can't go out today and plant corn and it turn into a corn grain crop. You could still plant corn and chop it up for silage, but it won't be ideal for that either because it just won't get to the maturity it needs to get to by the time frost shuts it down. Same thing with soybeans. The other one we got is we make a lot of hay in the county here, and you don't want to get stuck with your farm equipment. Have you ever heard the phrase, make hay when the sun shines?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. So hay has to get dry. You have to put it out. You rely on the sun to dry it down, and then you harvest the hay. Well, the other unique thing about this this pattern of all this rain is it's been, you know, you could have the same amount of rain and have the week of the first week of June not rain and still have the same April, May, June period. And we would have had tremendously more acres in. But it's been just incredibly consistent down to, like, I heard some say, well, it's 18, once every 18 hours, not a day and a half.
So, yeah, yeah.
So not more than 18. So it's been very consistent, and so that means that even if we had less rain than this, there'd be no variability in the soil moisture. It would just be consistently wet. And so, yeah, we have unplanted crops. We have unmade hay. Hay gets, now you can make it. Well, hay gets to be mature. There's a right time to make hay for it to be most beneficial feed for cattle. We're past that time. It's too mature. It becomes more like straw. So we lost a lot of hay quality. We have a lot of unplanted crops. If you go out and see some farmers snuck some corn in and you see that the population, a lot of the corn didn't germinate or gave up at some point. So you have low populations, empty spots in fields. You have yellow corn that rain leaches the soil of its nitrogen. A lot of bad effects of this excessive rain. So,
it has certainly disrupted a farmer's routine. It also sounds like it could be affecting consumers.
I mean, so far across the U.S., we are still predicting it's kind of a Wisconsin-Minnesota thing. We're still expecting a pretty good corn crop in the U.S. Some areas benefit from more rain. Some areas that were droughty last year are back to normal. The Mississippi River couldn't float barges in the southern Mississippi, and we've solved that problem. Actually, we have Mississippi around northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin is an extreme flood stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the south because the other tributaries are not contributing as much. So far, I don't think you're going to have to worry too bad about what happens in the grocery store. And farmers are going to rely on things like hopefully they have crop insurance, that they're insured against a disaster like this. But a lot of farmers are knowing that it's going to be even with insurance, which they should have, that just physically, how are they going to feed the cows?
Yeah.
And so I've been giving a lot of advice to people on alternative crops that are not as good as our corn or soybeans that they could plant that will come out of the ground quickly, respond to a lot of crops that we plant in May, like the cooler spring, so we don't have anymore. We have July. So are there crops that really like hot July weather and can respond in 6 weeks and make some feed to make up some of the difference and some quality? So we've been giving information on what to do with what you've been dealt.
Is that the main kind of question you've been receiving at UW?
Well, yeah, I would say it is. It's like, the indemnity that a farmer might get for prevented planting of corn is substantial. So there's a lot of rules to say, well, you ever had this joke, the government paid me not to farm?
Yeah.
Because they did that. And there is a time in history when we had surplus and the government solution was pay you not to farm. Well, crop insurance seems a little bit like that way, is they're going to pay you for not getting your corn crop in. Mm. And across the fence, somebody did. Well, really, nobody did very well by it. So it's very obvious it was a very difficult year. But there is a little pattern that here's an okay cornfield, and right next door is an unplanted field. So they have pretty strict rules on crop insurance that if you're going to get this significant check for failing to get your corn planted, that you don't, after the deadline, go in and plant corn. And that would be one of the suggestions we'd make, is it's still going to give you a lot of tonnage of feed, even though it's not grain. So, but for crop insurance, the current rule is that because they're policing you're gonna have to find a different crop to plant.
When it comes to that, piggybacking on what you say there, I don't know if there's many people that are more adaptive than farmers and people in the ag industry. How have they been adapting to this?
So we have a heavy livestock industry in this area, so farmers are still going to try to plant something to feed their cattle. But if you get in this area, you get some farmers that are not dairy farmers. They're just they're called row crop farmers. They grow corn and soybeans. A lot of those people, this would happen in other areas too, just won't plant. So I'd say there is an example of adaptive, is that we need to feed livestock. And so rather than say, well, we missed the window, it's a loss, because usually the insurance won't be as good as if you could grow a good crop. But people that are feeding livestock are really struggling to figure out how to keep their cattle fed.
Matt, I can't thank you enough for the conversation and the time. Always a good time. I always enjoy talking with you. I learn when I talk with you, too, and I know our audience does. We appreciate that. If people have follow-up questions, if they'd like to get a hold of you in some way or another, how can they do that?
Well, the Extension office is here at the courthouse, right in the ground floor. You can mail us. You can go to our website, which if you just Google or do your search engine and do Wood County Extension will show up. You can call us.
Yeah.
You can email us. All that's on our website.
Morse code. You can, no.
There's lots of ways.
There's a lot of different ways.
And then we're out in the public, so you can find us somewhere sometimes too.
Stop by the building, or that you can go to extension.wisc.edu, extension.wisc.edu. It's another great way to get a hold of Matt or anybody of the great people that join us on this show from Extension. Take care, Matt. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com, with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area in hour number two, the executive director of Gathering Waters and Land Trust Days. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries spoke to reporters today as calls grow from Democrats for President Biden to drop out of the presidential race.
Conversations have been candid, comprehensive, and clear-eyed, and they continue until that process has concluded.
He said House Democrats are united on Biden's agenda, but 13 have said Biden should quit.